office has been the first 6 months are always pretty interesting, and I wanted to thank his communications director for putting this together. Mr. Mayor, how are you this evening?
I am doing well, and it is an honor to talk to you and talk about what's going on in Kansas City.
Well, my pleasure to have you here with us. Just start it off really quickly. Are you getting any sleep, sir?
You know, I try my best every day to make sure I'm getting enough. Unfortunately, you know, sleeping is not something you get aplenty in this job, but that's all right. Every moment is interesting and entertaining, and that's a lot more fun than when I was a lawyer sitting at a desk all day.
And has it been all it's been cracked up to be?
You know, it has. It has. I think what I always thought, what I always knew, was how dynamic Kansas City is, how much is going on, and frankly, how many challenges we have along the way. And so, you know, I think that it has been everything. It's been cracked up to be, and more by far.
Well, a couple of weeks ago, you did your first State of the City address, and from what everybody is saying and what I've been reading, it is it's big and bold.
You know, I think it was, and I think in some ways what we've seen is an attempted different view of how city government in Kansas City is supposed to work. And what I mean by that is this, that I spent a lot of time talking about Kansas City for regular folks. We talked about things like zero fare transit. We've talked about investments in housing. We've talked about paying city employees, particularly poorly paid city employees, even more. That's the sort of work that I've been most interested in, and frankly, I'm proud of what we've put out, both in the speech, much of what we've talked about in the budget, and hopefully much of what we see in policy over the next 3.5 years.
Well, one thing that really interests me, and just to touch on this for a little bit, is the bus fares. I have always been a big proponent of economic development, and in order to have economic development and security, you have to be able to get the people to and from the areas where the jobs are at. This is definitely a step that will help fix that problem that's out there, I believe.
You know, I think that's vital for us. I mean, here's my problem often with economic development, and you hit the nail on the head. Too often we talk about it needs to, you know, we need to give incentives. We need to build in different parts of the city. We're improving neighborhoods. What we never talk about is how does that hardworking woman or man in our city actually get to where the opportunities are? Mm-hmm. What's the cost for them? What are they willing to have to deal with? How long of a bus route? I hope that what we're seeing with this is a real change in our focus in Kansas City and hopefully beyond that says that this is not just the sort of thing where we build some development, frankly, so a developer can make money and maybe the business can get a cut on its deal, but instead to say, all right, we're going to actually commit to making sure that people have a way to get to work. We're going to commit to making sure people have a way to get around Kansas City, and that fundamentally includes all people, not just highways, not just things for all of us who, you know, have good middle-class jobs or above, but instead thinking about things for everybody, including hardworking men and women in our city.
Well, I know the Mid-America Regional Council has worked on this extensively over the years. It's one of the committees that I have sat on, Special Needs Transportation and the JARC, the Jobs and Return Process. So it's been kind of interesting to me as they start to lay out the development for the next 40 to 50 years in Kansas City and how the transportation is going to impact jobs and folks being able to get from A to B and then back to B from A.
You know, I think that is just vital. You know, there are a lot of people that I don't think actually understand how much accessibility is a part of what we're dealing with. Mm-hmm. I don't know if there are enough people who understand how much, frankly, creating opportunities, removing barriers to development are key for so many of us. And so that's why I've taken such a tremendous interest in this.
And, you know, speaking of the economic development now, according to one of the reports that I had read, unfortunately, it looks like a little bit of money is going to have to come out of the general fund for the Lowe's Hotel downtown. Some of the revenue expectations have fallen short.
You know, I think that's an area of disappointment. And, in fact, I've had a number of conversations with folks about that. And it generally comes up as this. All the money that we are putting back into the Lowe's Hotel comes from somewhere. And, unfortunately, the area where we saw the cut included a cut, and I recognize they're all significant, for Visit KC, for the film office, for other investments, both in tourism and community arts. I take from that a few different things. One, it's not that Kansas City doesn't value the arts. It's not that Kansas City doesn't value tourism. It's that we need to make sure we are looking at the costs that we are putting on those who follow us. $4.5 million per year for the next 20 years. So that's an excess, obviously, of $80 million, probably closer to $90 million that will come out of any number of other sources, unless the hotel performs exceptionally well. But it will be those monies that are taken from any other number of community activities. And that's where the challenge is, and that's why when we look at economic development, we can't just be short-sighted. We can't just say that, you know, we want or need something in the now. We also need to think about what the cost is going to be.
Right. And, you know, I understand that, you know, some of the cuts have come, like, for instance, Kansas City SourceLink, and me being in an old rue and, you know, doing business of my own over the years, you know, that hurts a little bit, as well as some of the budget cuts to the Economic Development Corporation of Kansas City. But I see, even though they have cuts to their budget, they are, based on performance. They still will receive money based on performance, as the way I was reading it.
Right. You know, I think there is something to be said for, you know, every organization and department that has been cut. We had a fairly lengthy kind of thought discussion about it. And the reason for that is this, that, you know, you want to encourage strong performance, that sort of thing. We see some areas where we could be better. We see some areas where we're excelling. But the other thing that I would say is that it's not just where perhaps cuts existed, but it's where growth wasn't at the level that it was expected.
Right.
You know, I was a little surprised, but the other day I'm on the Board of Police Commissioners. I got a fairly decent chiding from people who said, we want more police officers. We've approved 10 in this budget. The request was 30. You know, Emmanuel Cleaver I bumped into the other day, and he told me, well, if you have everybody angry, then you've done something right. And it seems like at least I've excelled at that so far.
Well, you know, part of it, too, you know, we're talking about the policing. It's not necessarily the amount of officers on the street. It's the amount of officers that are in the particular areas where the concentration needs to be. It's not necessarily bodies, but more or less the work that is being performed. At least that's how I see it.
No, that's exactly right. I mean, I think every place that we go to, particularly as our economy and our world changes, we need to see how we can be most agile, how we can best perform. For the Kansas City Police Department, that might mean, as their view is, adding more officers. Mm-hmm. But what it may also mean is actually spending more money on social workers, who are typically somewhat cheaper. Not because they're cheaper, but because they can access and reach people in a way different than perhaps what we see from others. You know, same thing with our health levy. Is it perhaps that maybe we want to put more money into KC Care Clinic that is reaching out, counseling HIV and AIDS patients, providing housing, than we do in traditional medicine delivery type things?
Right.
That's the sort of effort that I think we want to see more of, and that's what we'll look to in this budget. That's what we're looking to in the future for Kansas City.
Right. You have to see where the resources are best used, and you know, more people benefit from those resources.
Yes. Well, that's exactly right. And I think what we have to do all the time, whether it be the mayor, whether it be any department head, is to say, how can we best deliver the services that we have? I'm not one who likes simple status quos, and in fact, I think the people are probably seeing that now. I think I was elected to say, all right, what could be better? What can we improve on? What perhaps are we doing exceptionally well? And that's where I'm most interested in building for our future.
Well, it's something that's going on pretty well. I drive, you know, around town for a living, and I have seen the guys out filling potholes the last few days, and I've stopped and said, hey, guys, thank you. Appreciate the good job.
You know, God bless them. And I'll tell you what, if there is one injustice, and, you know, and I've been in an interesting mood the last few days, because when you put out the budget, usually the organizations and the entities that have some power and influence, be it public safety unions, be it the arts, be it others, have a strong voice. You know who never has a voice? that guy filling the pothole or that gal filling the pothole, mm-hmm. that person who's answering the 911 calls late at night, mm-hmm. that person who consistently in our city budget we are never thinking about with big increases, those people that we are never thinking about moving their lives ahead. And so my hope is that in this budget we've done at least a little bit of that.
Yeah. Well, like I said, every time I have a chance and I see the guys, I stop and let them know that they're doing a fantastic job. That the water guys and everybody that's out there doing the jobs that many of us just kind of overlook. We forget that they're there doing that for us.
That's exactly right.
A couple of feathers that you've had in your cap here lately. The tenants' rights situation that was taken care of here a couple of weeks. Well, not really taken care of. This system has been launched, working mm-hmm. on that, and I thought that was a great idea, and I'm glad that not only you but the city council were more than happy to take a look and attack that situation.
Well, you know, I'm very proud of city council. I think I'm proud of the fact that we have a lot of folks that are recognizing the amount of need that we had in the housing arena. It is not acceptable for us to say long into the future that we're going to allow people, half of our community, frankly, in some cases, to have substandard housing and to have no recourse. My view is this. You can't make everything perfect at all. But what you can do is give somebody a way to help themselves. You can say to that person who's been dealing with who knows what in their apartment unit or in their rental house that, look, here's a number to call if you need some help. Here are some resources. Here's a new place to live if you're having real issues. And that matters a lot, not just for adults in Kansas City, certainly for children, for seniors, for so many others. And so I'm very proud of the efforts we've taken on there and look forward to more ahead.
And something that you were very familiar with in your youth.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. I mean, it's, I had a chance to give it a somewhat emotional speech the other day. And I talked about the fact that a lot of people will see my story and they'll say how exceptional it was or the opportunities that have fallen to me have been. What I see is a real sign of challenge. Mm-hmm. Being homeless is in no way exciting. Dealing with issues like having to do all of my homework assignments in the bathroom when I was a kid so I wouldn't wake up my sisters and my mom who were sharing a one-bedroom motel room. You know, that's tough. Mm-hmm. And whatever I can do to remove those barriers for people in the future to make life better, I'm going to do.
Well, I think that's all of us need to be involved in that process, not just the city and local government. So I think it's something that each and every one of us should take a look at and tackle, in my humble opinion.
That's exactly right. You know, I think that all of those are things we need to do. And the other thing is just, you know, I ask everybody to be more equitable in what it is that we're doing. Let's think about how we can build a broader, better city, and that's kind of my long-term pitch, while also talking about how we do things like deliver services, fill the potholes, and make sure people are safe. All of it's important, and I'll tell you what, it's what makes being mayor as fun as it is, because I get a chance to debate it all.
Well, you know, just to do a little delve here off of the subject, it's interesting to me on the national level, the questions surrounding Mayor Pete and the folks saying, well, you only ran a city of 100,000. Well, you know, there's a lot of 100,000 population cities out there, and that's how you get to know exactly the issues that face your populace on a day-to-day basis. You know who's having trouble with school. You know the potholes. You know the sewer systems. You know what's going on out there, crime in the whole nine yards. It makes you more attuned to what's happening in your community and around you.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's much of what we're seeing then. And frankly, that's a strong suit of local government. And I have great respect. I'm, personal friends with Sharice Davids. I have great respect for Manuel Cleaver, so many of our federal elected officials and our state elected officials, like Governor Parson and others. Mm-hmm. But this job is a heck of a great time because I actually get to spend time really, being with people, talking to people about issues in their neighborhoods, trying to fix things that are everyday challenges, mm-hmm. and I'm darn proud to do it.
Now, one of the things that's kind of been a little bit up and down is the gun legislation at the state level. I know early in your tenure, you had some discussions with Governor Parsons and a couple of others about red flag legislation and some things down in Jefferson City that could help, you know, in the higher crime cities like Jefferson or like Kansas City, St. Louis, Springfield. I think all three of those mayors were pretty much in that meeting and trying to get something done. And it seemed at the moment Governor Parsons came out, you know, fairly amenable to doing some sort of legislation, and now there's really nothing on the table.
You know, I think that is, you know, interesting. And look, I understand that the state legislature, the governor will act in whatever ways they will, and I'll leave it at that. What I'll simply note is that we're not going to stop. We're not going to stop coming up with creative, if it need be, local legislation, like our legislation to get guns out of the hands of domestic abusers. Mm-hmm. We're not going to stop coming up with new ways to fund creative ways to fight crime in Kansas City, including outreach to young people, conflict resolution in the schools, and a number of other issues. That's the sort of thing that I'm focused on, and that's the sort of thing that we'll make sure we accomplish over the time ahead.
Well, I noticed, too, the budget for the police department is to add a couple of probation officers to kind of help tackle that type of situation.
Absolutely. You know, I think that's absolutely essential for us, and that's something that I'm very excited to do.
And another one that I was very interested in and glad to see was your step as far as marijuana prosecutions and some of the nonviolent crime actions that that need to be taken. It's more of a social issue than it is a legal issue, although, you know, pot still is illegal in the state of Missouri.
Yes, yes. I mean, I think it is just it's a matter of equity to me. And for me, it's this question of what is it that we're trying to accomplish in the policies that exist around us. My view is very simply that I think it is vital that we find a way to support more people, support regular people. There are lots of Kansas Cityans right now who are trying to rebuild their lives. There are Kansas Cityans that are trying to get to work. There are Kansas Cityans trying to do better. And maybe they've used marijuana. Maybe they continue to use marijuana. But let me tell you something. There are a lot of people with money who do, too. Those folks, even when caught, don't sustain the same types of penalties at all that we see lots of folks, particularly in our inner cities, particularly people of color, have to deal with every day. And so it's my view that that needs to change. And I have a very, well, small amount of power, but I'll be damn sure that I'm going to make a difference on it while I have the chance.
Well, it's all about the equity that you talked a little bit and
that's
equitability
exactly right
for folks.
Right. That's exactly right.
We're just getting a little bit thin here on time. So my next question would be, what do you have planned for the next year? What's your goals?
We have had such an action-packed 6 months. It's nothing short of kind of amazing what we fit in.
A drum roll, please.
I look at the accomplishments we have. I didn't do it, but there's a Super Bowl and a great parade that was pulled off. I mean, there's just a lot of good things that we're doing. So as part of that, I think, you know, we will continue to look at true equity and equitable policies in this city. I feel like I have a lot of unfinished business in the realm of housing, particularly how we can both fund a lot of our initiatives with Casey Clinton, but also how we can actually better support the great number of people that are working with our public housing authority. We have a wait list of thousands. I'd like to see us address more there. And so that's probably my next big step. Oh, and of course, we've got to pick a new city manager.
Right.
So we've got a lot more to do, and I look forward to making sure we do it.
Well, Mr. Rouse is a good man. He's been at it a long time, too.
You know, at 30 years, he's done an outstanding job, and frankly, I'm proud of what he's been able to step into very quickly. It is not an easy job. There are a lot of things you learn about along the way. And Ernest has been an exceptional person in terms of making sure we get that sort of work done.
Now, one of the questions that always confounds a few of the politicians, how are you working with the aldermen or the city council down there?
I love my brothers and sisters on the city council. You know, there's one thing that helps me, even on the toughest days, and I think both of my predecessors, and the last two predecessors, Lord knows Mayor Funkhauser had issues working with the council, and Mayor James, particularly in his second term, had sometimes conflagrations, really, with city council. And you saw that in the airport project.
Mm-hmm.
although certainly there are differences of opinion sometimes for me, I was on the city council 6.5 months ago. I've never forgotten it. I remember what it felt like when you didn't feel informed. I remember what it felt like when you didn't think you could be the best advocate for your own community. And so I take great pride in the fact that, you know, even when we have difficult conversations, I'm somebody who's willing to do it. I'm somebody who understands where somebody's coming from. I understand the work of a district councilman. And so I look forward to more of that fun work ahead.
Well, that's fantastic. Well, sir, we need to wrap up. Unfortunately, a half an hour just goes too doggone quickly. Could I have you back again?
I would be honored to. I appreciate anyone who helps spread local information, local news, local media, and so I'd be delighted to visit with you in the future.
Well, I appreciate that very much, sir. I'd like, again, to thank you for your time and all the energy that you're putting into it. And when I see you taking your daily jog through the 18th and Vine District, I'll give you a honk.
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
Well, thanks again, sir. Godspeed to you.
God bless you. Thank you all.
You take care.
Community Voices is a production of 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. It is our way of letting the voices of our neighbors be heard. Any opinions and views expressed are those of the speakers only, and not necessarily those of Midcoast Radio Project, KKFI, board, staff, or volunteers.
This is Jan Barron. I'm chair of the Cross Currents Culture Unlimited Board of Directors. Cross Currents is a nonprofit voluntary organization with the purpose of bringing together as many people as possible who want to engage in creative activity. Our goal is to transform our lives and our community through creative action and, in so doing, live the good life now. We began producing an amazing variety of creative cultural events in 1970 under our original name, The Fool Killer, etc., and have continued producing events until now, 2020, 50 years later. Our organization has pursued two mottos during our long history. The original Fool Killer motto, "We prefer crude vigor to polished banality," and our later Cross Currents motto, "People creating their own culture." Our creed has always been to encourage regular folks to participate in culture, not merely consume it. Going to movies and plays is fine, but we encourage you to join us on stage as part of our originally produced theater productions. Going to concerts is fine, but if you are a musician, join us in our jam sessions or perform a walk-on at one of our events. Buying CDs is fine, but if you are a songwriter, we encourage you to perform your composition at one of our regular Songwriter Circle events. If you are a fan of women's music, watch for our occasional Willow production concerts featuring such notable musicians as Holly Neer and Chris Williamson. Or if you like to dance, join us at one of our regular Cross Currents barn dances. The dances feature live music and will teach you all the steps. We believe in a holistic approach to culture, so we go beyond the performing arts. We support progressive human values with workshops, speakers, and conferences that support social awareness and social justice issues. Finally, Fool Killer, Cross Currents, and KKFI have been partners from the very beginning. In 1977, 11 years before KKFI began broadcasting, Midcoast Radio Project, the founding nonprofit group that created KKFI, had office space in the Fool Killer building, then located on the northwest corner of 39th and Main. Our two organizations produced a score of fundraising events over the years. And, of course, Fool Killer Folk is celebrating 30 years of programming on KKFI 90.1 FM. As part of our 50th anniversary celebration, we are producing a comedy production at the KC Fringe Festival entitled OK Boomer that will once again raise funds for KKFI. Watch for details at the KC Fringe Festival in July. We've had an amazingly productive 5 decades, which we plan to celebrate throughout the year of 2020 with our 50th anniversary celebration featuring special concerts, dances, jam sessions, and theater productions. For information on upcoming events, Check out our webpage at crosscurrentsculture.org or Cross Currents Culture Unlimited Facebook page. This is Jan Barron for Community Voices on KKFI 90.1 FM Community Radio.
Okay, thank you for tuning in to Radioactive Magazine. And since the interview ran a little time left over, I'm gonna add a few community items of interest. By the way, you can get these items of interest if you sign up to be on the Lawrence Progressive Calendar. They send this out once a week, and that's where we get a lot of our calendar events. Anyway. On Wednesday, February 26th, Diversity and Inclusion Summit from 8 to 4 p.m. at UMKC at Pearson Hall, 5,000 homes here in Kansas City. Project Equality and the Greater Kansas City Chamber of Commerce for the 2020 Diversity and Inclusion Summit, Housing Elevating Humanity Through Equitable Neighborhoods. This is a ticketed event. You can find out more information at brownpapertickets.com and just doing a search there for that. On Thursday, February 27th, Deep Roots KC, Planning for Climate Change and Creating Resilient Yards. You know, I find it interesting that, a lot of talk about climate change. There probably needs to be more discussion about what we can do with our yards. Anyway, that's at Platte County Resource Center from 6:30 to 8 p.m. Again, that's on Thursday, February 27th at 11724 Northwest Plaza Circle, Suite 200. On next Saturday, the 29th, the League of Women Voters Johnson County Centennial Celebration. It's the League of Women Voters of Johnson County, Kansas, the League of Women Voters for Kansas, and celebrating the centennial of the 19th Amendment. That's at Yardley Hall, 12345 College Boulevard, Overland Park, from 2 to 4 p.m. Again, that's this Saturday, the 29th. And then Sunday, March the 1st, Peaceworks KC Annual Meeting at Simpson House from 2 to 4 p.m. Simpson House is 4509 Walnut Street, Kansas City, Missouri. Now, next week on Radioactive Magazine, we have a very special program. They will actually be dealing in a little bit of radio theater. There's a drama that has been written called Nukes on Trial. That the details of that came from when the Peaceworks KC folks were protesting against nukes, and they all engaged in a little civil disobedience. So show your support. Tune in next Tuesday at 6 o'clock for Radioactive Magazine. Well, keep your dial tuned right here on KKFI for Counterspin, followed by Taste of Tejano, right after the following messages.